throughout all the examples that I'm going to be giving and all the discussions we're going to have in this series of lectures, it's never going to be the case that one is clearly the right way and the other is clearly the wrong way in all situations. But some ways of speaking will be more effective in some situations and other will be more effective in others. So the key here is going to be to understand the logic behind a whole range of ways of speaking and taking into account that the other person may be speaking in a way that uses language differently from the way you might use it. I want to make a few more caveats that you'll want to keep in mind throughout all the lectures. Although I'll be talking about styles associated with women, styles associated with men, none of these patterns I'll be describing are clear dichotomies. And that's why I use the term patterns and expressions like associated with women rather than female style, or associated with men rather than male style. In any social science study, we never find that 100% of one group is doing one thing and 0% of the other group is doing another. A finding of 60% versus 40% is a strong finding. So there are many reasons that individuals' ways of using language can vary. Gender, as I mentioned earlier, is only one influence on our styles of speaking. The other influences fall into a number of categories, but those that I think of as the big five are ethnicity, regional background, social class, and age, in addition to gender. There are also many others, for example, with the profession that you're in, a psychologist versus an accountant or an engineer, sexual orientation, your place in the sibling constellation, for example, whether you're an oldest sister or a youngest brother, whether you're the only sister among brothers or the only brother among sisters. All of these things can influence your style of speaking, and of course, individual personality. So as I talk about styles associated with women and men, I'll always keep in mind and hope that you will keep in mind that gender is only one influence. But even when the pattern does not describe every individual of that sex or gender, these are the patterns along which conversational styles vary. And so understanding these patterns will be helpful, whether it's typical of your style or the styles of the people you speak to because of their gender or because of their ethnic background, regional background, social class, age, or any of the other differences I mentioned. Another caveat is that a pattern is not a norm. Although these differences do tend to characterize women and men, it doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with the many men and women who don't, quote, fit that pattern. I realize that there's a risk in describing gender differences, as there is in describing any differences associated with a social group. It can seem, on the one hand, to reflect stereotypes, and on the other, it can seem to reinforce stereotypes. And from that point of view, there's a danger that it can actually deepen the divide between, for example, women and men. However, as linguist Robin Lakoff points out, and I'll be referring to her work later on because she was one of the first to describe gender differences in language, if there is a problem that really is there and you keep sweeping it under the rug, you are going to be tripping on that bump in the rug. So despite the fact that I'm aware of the danger of describing differences, I believe firmly, and I hope you'll be convinced as we go through these lectures, that the patterns are there, and it's better to take them into account, acknowledge them as a basis for making any changes we would like to make, rather than denying the differences in order to feel that we can make changes.